Well, hello, River Church. Greetings from my kitchen. Wow, what a crazy time we are in right now. I got my river mug with fresh water in it. So I just wanted to speak to you a word of hope. We are all going through this together. We're in a worldwide pestilence. We're in a pandemic, coronavirus. I get kind of tired of seeing the news about it, but I just know that every nation is fighting the spread. We are looking to flatten the curve, as they say. So we want to flatten the curve, which is why I'm in my kitchen preaching to you on a Sunday morning rather than being with you all at the church. Because we know it's in every state. We know it's come fast and furious, and believing that as we honor the, our government officials and authorities, not for the legal reasons, because there's really, that's not the issue. To me, it just makes sense to keep a little distance. We're gonna practice social distancing. In fact, I wrote an article for the Daily News, which I'm asked to do. A lot of the pastors in town, the Daily News arranges it and puts a schedule to those who are interested. And I'm on for 2 weeks a year, so in the year, and it just happened to be this was my week. And I knew this since January. So it was not only my week, but it was a special week. So I went up to get a newspaper, and lo and behold, I grabbed one from local convenience store, and they put the River Church on the front page. I wasn't expecting that. It says, "Let us pray." So kind of cool that they did that. And then my article is in the near the back end of the first section, and it's all about social distancing, which goes against everything in me as a pastor. But here we are, and I think it's a good idea, and I would encourage everyone to practice social distancing. Practice just chilling out, be home. Go to the store as little as you need to, as little as possible. And we don't want to overdo it or underdo it. I just think it's not a big sacrifice to keep some distance, do less for the good of everyone. And so certainly this is the first time in our lifetime that anything like this has happened, but it's not the first time. In fact, there are many times we read in the Bible of unexpected disasters, and they take on many forms, a lot of storms, a lot of famines, plagues, droughts, pestilence. But I want to say to you this morning, God is the God of the unexpected, and we're going to be fine. And there's many examples of that throughout the Scripture, the Old and the New Testament, where something came in an unexpected way, and yet God used it for great good. One example is in Genesis 12. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land." And it says, Abram went down to Egypt to live there. And then, of course, we know that he got into some trouble. And it wasn't just the famine. And the famine was the only reason he went there. But it wasn't just the famine that was the trouble. He lied about who his wife was. Sarai was so beautiful, and so he told Pharaoh that she was his sister, so that Pharaoh wouldn't kill Abram, as he before he was his name was changed, but that he'd spare his life. And turns out all kinds of trouble happened because of that. But through it all, even with that, even with the famine, with the trouble that he got himself into for lying, it says he prospered. God prospered him. God protected him. God saw him through that time. And actually, he left there wealthier than when he got there. And in a very similar way, Isaac, same thing. Isaac, it said there was a famine in the land. And this time, though, specifically the Scripture says, God told Isaac, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay where you are." And he did. He obeyed God in that way. But he also did the identical thing. He lied about his beautiful wife, Rebecca, and it got him into trouble, and it got him. But again, in the same way, through, even though with the famine and with him getting in trouble with the, I think it was a Philistine king at the time, he left there prosperous. He left there with, it says he left there with flocks and silver and gold. So I want to say God is the God of the unexpected. And I want to just join with me in prayer right now. I'm getting going here and all this craziness. I want to just open in prayer. So Father, we just thank you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to shine for you in a different way, Lord, as we, the body of Christ, are in the palm of your hand. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless their time, bless it through this remote way, this different form that it's taken on. But Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us wherever we are, and that in one sense we are gathered together in your name. Lord, I pray you'd bless the families, bless the children, bless the adults, Lord, bless our time. By your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, famines were used, and unexpected things were used a lot. Throughout the scripture, another, Jesus talked about the story of the prodigal son, and a famine was used in that, and it was used in there to really a pivotal piece of the whole story of the prodigal son, which was all about the love of the Father, the love of the Father that he has for us. So plagues are another familiar topic in the Bible. The 10 plagues of Egypt, again, going back to Egypt, they were from God, but each of the 10 plagues was a punch in the gut to a false god of Egypt. And each plague from God brought freedom and deliverance one step closer to God's people. Those were completely designed to deliver the people of God out of generations, we know over 400 years of slavery. That's all they've ever known. And yet God used plagues, flies and locusts and darkness and blood and all kinds of things to deliver the people of God and to show the difference. And it was a key factor to remember. It was the plagues that God used to define the difference between the people of God and those who weren't the people of God. He also used plagues to punish his own people, those who rebelled against him. We know, just like God used pestilence to discipline his own people, but also his promises to those who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, he saves from the deadly pestilence. And I want to say again, God is the God of the unexpected. So he's in this. He's going to be showing up in a strong way, and you can count on that. And I want to read just part of Psalm 91, where we read of this, that God's salvation through the pestilence in it. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And then I'm going to skip ahead to verse 5 and 6, but I would encourage you to read, you know, after this, sometime today, read all of Psalm 91. It would just really encourage you. But verse 5 says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. So God is in control of all things, and yes, even things that we'd put in the that's terrible, that's horrible category. And we all have that category. We all have that category where we can pull back and look at things in our past and our experience that we would say, I wish that would never have happened, or I wish that would never happen to anyone. And yet, we see that God is in those things. So now there's a passage in Habakkuk 3 that I want to dig into a little more. It's an amazing passage, one of the minor prophets. It's near the end of the Old Testament. It's a book I don't preach out of very often, but Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3, is talking about God and it's describing God. And I want you to take this to heart, because it says he's the Holy One. So his glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Now just imagine that. I live on the east side and I don't get to see the sunrise very often because of the trees. It's a mature neighborhood with all the trees. But every now and then, when I leave early enough in the morning, or I'm up early enough and the sky is clear enough, the sun comes through those trees and comes from the east. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And this is describing God's splendor is like that. His splendor is like the sunrise. It says, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. So maybe it's just the artist in me, the former illustrator in me. I just imagine rays flashing from God's hand. It's just a spectacular image. It's easy enough for us to imagine. And then the very next verse after that says, plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. What? Plague went before God, who is glorious in splendor like the eastern sunrise, like a beautiful, gorgeous sunrise. The rays of light are coming out of his hands. The hand, we know the right hand of God is a hand of blessing. It's a hand of strength. It's a hand of deliverance. In that picture of God's glorious beauty and splendor are the words plague and pestilence in the same description of our God. In verse 6, the rest of it says, the ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. Oh, I forgot to say at the beginning of verse 6, he stood and shook the earth. So plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. And we know from the scriptures that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It says in the last days, at the end times, anything and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And it's understood that you test things. When you make something, you test it, you put it to the test, you go further than it would normally be tested so that you make sure that it's going to be secure, be strong. Well, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And it says, he stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. This is Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 6. He made the nations tremble, and you can believe it right now, the nations are trembling. And they're not trembling because of their economies necessarily. They're not trembling because of wars. They're not trembling because of political bickering or anything like that. They're not trembling because of the climate. They are trembling because of a virus that is spreading like wildfire and getting the rich and the poor, affecting the celebrities and the nobodies. It's impacting every people group that we know of worldwide in some way or another. And then the economy and all other things that the fallout from that are coming. It says the ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. Now this is the description of God. This is who he is, and this is our God who only does wondrous things, but it puts the terms plague and pestilence in describing who he is. And I believe that he is allowing this thing to get our attention. I think he's getting our attention because we were just coming off the midst of, I think, 3 years of really great years of our new president. And I want to say, I'll go on the record saying, I appreciate much of what our president has done in so many ways for the unborn, for Israel, for freedom of religion, for the economy and all these things. But so often God says, keep him first. Keep him first. So even in the midst of God's blessing, he says, don't get your heart set on even the blessings of God. Don't get satisfied. Don't get encouraged. Don't make your encouragement come from your checkbook or from your secure job or your new stuff. Because God is a jealous God. He's very serious about him being in the driver's seat, in the front seat of your life, and not the second second seat to your life. He doesn't want to be in with the leftovers, in with the, oh, if I have time, I will include God. But he wants to be in the first and the foremost part of your life, because with him, he is the worthy one that deserves to be in the front and center place in your life. He's the worthy one that when you strip everything else away, he is still good. He is your rock. He is the one that is the glorious one, that whose splendor is like the sunrise, who's got the rays of light coming from his hands. He's the one who holds it all together. He's the one who is the Lord over all the nations. So even in the midst of blessing, it's like the sower that sowed seed and it sprouted up among the weeds. And it says, not just the cares of this life, but also the riches of this life choked it out. And if we're not careful, even the things that have been going really well for us in the last couple of years, maybe, and hopefully you have experienced some, you know, solid good things going on, but those aren't your God. Amen. Those aren't what saves you. Those aren't what brings promises of being with God forever. Those aren't what sustain you. Those aren't what sustain any of us. Those things come and they go. And we appreciate them. But even in the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt and said, there's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey that you're going to come into that God has promised. It was the promised land called the land of milk and honey. And he said, when you get there, don't forget God. Don't forget the Lord. Don't put him on the back burner. Don't set him on the shelf now and go have fun with your toys and your blessing and all that. I just think this is a key time that we're coming off. We're living in a land flowing with milk and honey. And God says, hey, remember me. And it's not just for us. And this is important. It's not just remember God for us so that we get, you know, our heads on straight. But God is saying there's a ton of people and there's a world full of people that don't yet know him. And his plan A and his only plan, it hasn't changed, is that we would be his messengers and that we would be bringing the good news to the nations. And so we can get pretty content having a nice time with our riches and our blessing and our goodness and our freedom that even has been brought by what I would say the new administration. But that is not the goal. That's not where we're going. That is not the end of what God wants for us to be happy and content in this life. Has never been the goal, never will be the goal. This life is so short term. This is so temporary place for us to live and dwell. And there's a lot of people that don't know the love of Christ. There's a lot of people that are missing out on the peace and the joy and the life that we have in Christ. And so it's amazing to me, amazing that God. We talk, again, I mentioned this, we talk about getting out of the church walls. And man, are we out of the church walls right now. Man, every church is out of the church walls right now. Every church is at homes or carefully out and about in the community and keeping some distance. But what a crazy thing, and it's a crazy opportunity for for God to use us in a special way. And certainly the internet, the media, the tools that we have now are huge to use for us to get the message out. Because the day will come when we'll be back together. We'll be, read the article, we're going to be, there's going to be hugs and handshakes all around. That will come back. And but for now, man, this is a wake-up call. I believe this is God's wake-up call, not just to the nations and not out of punishment, because God only does wondrous things, and he's only love, and he's only for us, and he's only for anyone and everyone, whether they know him or not. But it's for us specifically, for the church, to wake up and say, there's work to be done. There is a lot of work to be done. So we want to be about that work. And I do want to close with Psalm 62. I read the other day. I want to read it again. It says, just part of it. I just want to read part of it. Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Okay? And then I want to skip ahead to verse 5. It says, find rest, O my soul, in God. And this is what I want you to take encouragement. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. This is a Psalm of David. He says it again. And then he goes on to say, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Let God encourage you. Yes, we need to receive, and I hope you receive encouragement from the Word of God, from the presence of God, as a family, as individuals, but also know that it's not just for you. God wants to encourage you so that you can be an encouragement to others. And that's my challenge. I want you to consider and pray about, who can you be a blessing to this week, even in these circumstances, even in this situation? Who can you pray for? Who can you make a phone call to? Who can you text? Who can you check in on or email? Or maybe you haven't had time to do things like that. Who can you, what project around the house has your spouse been wanting you to do? Now is a great time to do it. Trust the Lord with the finances. Trust the Lord with the timing of all this. Trust the Lord with your health. Lean on God. Trust in him at all times, O people, and pour out your hearts to him. Talk to God during this time, for God is our refuge. What's a refuge? A safe place. It's a secure place. It's a place of provision and of blessing. That's who God is. So receive it for yourself, and look for others that might need it. Others that maybe don't know the Lord. How can you minister to your neighbor right now? How can you minister to a coworker right now? How can you be an encouragement to them and show the love of Christ and show the peace of Christ that you have nurtured for years? Show the peace of Christ. Receive it not only for yourself, but for others. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that it's alive, Lord, that it's living and active. God, thank you that your disciplines aren't to destroy us, but to make us better. Not to condemn us, because we know there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but to steer us into right living and right purpose. Because we don't want to lose sight of that, God, that there's nations out there, there's many, many people worldwide who are living in fear and doubt and uncertainty. And Lord, we have the answer. Thank you, God, that we have hope. We have the answer. We know that you are the God of the unexpected. And you haven't left us, you haven't forsaken us, and you never will. Lord, bless the word, bless our time with our families, bless our time that we have in this unique way. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you again soon.